Welcome to The Grow Show, brought to you by Marty Grunder's Grow Group, where we specialize in helping landscaping companies to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grunder Landscaping Company. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays and are made possible with the support of Bob Yard. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show. Today, we're going to talk about how to keep your cool even in a crisis. It's spring, folks, so there's a lot of that going on right now. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since the smell of fresh cut grass and mulch. I think a lot of people like the smell of fresh cut grass, but fewer like the smell of mulch. I love both. You probably do too. I've always loved it. They smell like money to me, folks, to be honest, and they always make me reminisce a lot. They take me back to a little boy and all the smells of spring outside my open window at my childhood home, and they take me back to the 80s, 42 years ago, when I started my business. My landscaping company is, outside of my wife and kids, my identity, and all those smells signify the start of another year. It's going to be a great year, folks. I know it is. And I surely know that that attitude of believing it's going to be a good year, that's essential to winning. And that brings me to the topic of the week, dealing with crisis. I know a crisis is going to happen, folks. You know something's going to happen. It's bound to happen with the pressure of all the work and stress as we ramp up to do all this work. Something's going to blow. Spring and landscaping can feel like one long emergency run. An irrigation line gets cut, a crew shows up at the wrong property, a client calls angry before you've even had your first cup of coffee. And by the way, I don't drink coffee. Marty on coffee would be frightening. Three of your four new hires don't show up for work the first day of work. Anybody relate? Raise your hand. As the owner, ladies and gentlemen, it feels like you're just putting out fires all day long. So I think the question is this. How do you keep your cool when everything feels urgent? How do you handle an angry client without escalating it? How do you correct a crew mistake without blowing up morale? How do you stay strong for your team at work and at home? All right. As smart leaders know, both are critical to your success. Today, I thought I would give you a practical framework you can use immediately so problems don't derail your day, your team, or your business. All right, why we lose our cool. Let's start there. Most of the time I found it's not the problem that causes the damage, it's our reaction to the problem, all right? The spring pressure is real, folks. There's tight schedules, thin margins, weather delays, labor shortages. This isn't the case, but it does often feel like everything's against us. And then when something goes wrong, it does feel personal. I get it. These businesses are our babies, folks. They really are. They're our babies. But leadership requires emotional discipline. And if you escalate things emotionally, you're going to lose credibility with your client, you're going to create fear in your team, and you're going to make bad decisions, okay? The crisis, I don't think, is the real issue. It's the loss of control, and that's what fear is. It's a loss of control. So here's a framework that I have used to deal with this, and it's a five-step crisis framework that I use. Step one, pause before you lead. When something blows up, don't respond instantly, all right? 1001. 1002, 1003, 1004. Okay, well, hold on. Let's see what happens here. Slow down your breathing, lower your voice, and say to yourself, what actually happened here? Is this as bad? You know, I think, like Dr. Maxwell says, things are never as good as we think they are, nor are they as bad. They're somewhere in between. So I think what you need to say to yourself is this: let's slow down and let's get the facts. That alone changes the temperature of the room, okay? Step two, you got to separate the emotions from the facts. When a client says, hey, this is Rudy, and you just totally destroyed my yard, that's emotion. They came home, maybe they had a bad day at work, and they say you destroyed their yard. Your job's to get the facts. Hey, what happened, Rudy? Do you have a picture you could text me the damage of? And then say to yourself, like, what assumptions am I making? What assumptions is that guy making? Maybe it's 12 feet of tire rutting with a bobcat after a rainstorm. We all know that looks way worse than it is, and it might have just happened. You went into the backyard in the morning when it was dry, and you got caught in a monsoon. You had to get the machine out, and you rutted up the yard. Sometimes that happens. That's fixable. That's not the end of the world. But that client might think it is because they don't know your business. And so if you jump on the emotion with them, it's going to make it feel like it's catastrophic to everyone involved. Facts make it manageable. Facts make it manageable. Step three, own the outcome. I think this is critical. And I'll tell you, when I have somebody that's working for me do something wrong, when they don't own it, man, that just sends me into outer space because I wasn't the one being paid to do the job. You don't have to immediately admit fault, but what you do have to do is to own a resolution. And I think one of the most powerful things you can say to a frustrated client is this: we'll take care of it. Or here's what I love to say: don't worry, Sam, I am never going to let this get in the way of our relationship. I'm going to make it right. I know it's upsetting to you. This can be fixed quickly. It may not appear that to you, but I know it can. Just hang in there with me. I'm going to get it. Talking like that builds trust instantly, even before the solution is clear. So when we're talking about handling an angry client, that's going to happen. It'd be far better off if you were prepared right now to handle that, to role play it with your team. So I thought I'd talk a little bit more specifically about customer complaints, because this is where a lot of owners get defensive and there's a better way. When a customer is upset, let them vent. Don't interrupt. Don't justify. Don't defend. Don't do any of that. Just let them vent. And then secondly, after you've let them vent, accept responsibility for the situation, even if it's not entirely your fault. This is where you got to say the customer is always right. We're not really worried about who's at fault. We're worried about what's at fault here. And you can say something like, I totally understand why you're frustrated. That doesn't mean you're admitting wrongdoing. It just means you're acknowledging their experience and you're trying to get to a solution. And I think there's a very powerful question that a lot of owners or leaders fail to ask an upset client. And that is, what would you like for us to do? I remember almost 40 years ago, I planted a 6-inch tree for Mrs. Tallheimer. Her daughter, Julie, I went to school with. And I had to rent a backhoe to plant this tree. It had a giant ball on it. I never should have been doing it. At the time, I think it was like a $2,500 tree, which back in the 80s, that was a lot of money for a tree. So I planted the tree. And then when I got home, I had a message on my answering machine. We didn't have voicemail then. She said, I am so upset with how this looks. You have to come over here immediately. So I got the message. I went over there at 7 o'clock at night and I was literally trembling, wondering what we were going to have to do. Because if we're going to have to dig that tree out, the tree's going to die. You can't just lift the tree like that out. And she had picked the tree out. So I was really confused. So I went over there and we had planted a pear tree, which today you don't plant pear trees because they're just basically a weed. And we had planted some gold flame spireas in front of it. And I said, well, Mrs. Tallheimer, I'm sorry that you're upset. What would you like for me to do? And she says, well, let's go out here and look at this. She's like, do you see those two spirea? I mean, they look awful. They had gotten hot, folks. If you've ever planted spirea, sometimes they get hot. They defoliate right away and they're fine. So I said, okay. I said, well, what if I replace those two spirea? She goes, yeah, you're going to replace those. Of course you are. I ran around the corner to the garden center, got two spirea, came right back, put them in the ground, took the two that were in there, put them in my truck, saved them, revived them, sold them to somebody else, and we were done. And all that was de-escalated by me asking her, what would you like for me to do? Instead of showing up at her door and said, what's wrong with you? What do you mean you don't like the tree? I mean, my gosh, you picked the tree out. You picked this whole thing out. What exactly are you upset about? When you do that, folks, the client's fists go up. Your fists go up and here we go. It's a right, it's a left, it's a right, it's a left. That's not what we want, okay? So when you say, what would you like for us to do? It shows humility. It gives the client a voice. It reveals where their expectation is reasonable. And I have had sometimes people say something that's just crazy and you just have to deal with that. More times than not, it gets it moving pretty fast. And oftentimes they say what they want. It's far less than what you even were gonna do. Other times, their request gives you insight into how to solve it properly. So the sequence is accept responsibility, acknowledge frustration, and ask what they'd like done, and then respond with a clear plan. Speed of response is also critical here, folks, because that builds trust faster than perfection of a response. Step four, solve in layers. Every issue has four layers, folks. There's immediate containment, stop the problem, stop the bleeding. There's client reassurance. Hey, you made a good decision in doing business with me. I'm going to make this right. You go inside your organization and you correct it and you do process prevention. Okay. So let's say an irrigation line gets cut. Let's talk about this and how this works. Containment, shut off the water. Reassure the client, tell them when it's going to be repaired and what you're going to do. correct it internally. Hey guys, how did we hit the line? Why wasn't that marked? We were supposed to mark all. I know we were in a hurry. No, we don't. That's why we mark it. Now we're going to have $500 in a repair, guys. I know you didn't mean to do this, but we just can't do this. And then prevent, adjust your locate procedure going forward. Make sure it's done. If you skip the prevention step, folks, you guarantee repeat fires. That's not what we're trying to do. So when a crew makes a mistake, I think it's time to talk about that here and the internal issues. When a crew messes up, owners tend to do one of two things. They either explode, which that doesn't help, or they ignore it, or they fix it silently and they don't say a thing. Both are leadership mistakes, folks. Here's the rule. Correct the behavior, protect the dignity. Chastise in private, praise in public. Pull whoever made the mistake aside and privately and ask them what happened. And then say what should have happened. And then say, what are we going to do differently the next time? And talk about it calmly. Oftentimes we do this, and we even get to the point where we can get that person to talk in front of the whole team about what they did and what they learned from it and what they're going to do the next time. Because, folks, if you think your team's not going to make mistakes, you're wrong. And oftentimes the people that made the mistake, you're paying them to learn how not to do that ever again. And you're also paying them to be a really good teacher. And I think an emotional reaction builds fear. That's how people hide stuff. That's how you find out your truck smashed up and the guy named Nobody did it, okay? Fear reduces performance. People are on eggshells. So we got to move these companies that we're a part of out of preventing constant firefighting. If you feel like you're always in crisis mode, folks, that's usually a systems issue. Ask yourself, do we have SOPs? Are the expectations documented? Are we learning from our mistakes? Do the crews know the standard? Are the job packets? Are the work tickets in Inspire or LMN? Are they clear? Is there notes? Are there pictures? Do we have a morning huddle? Is someone accountable for quality control? Are we posting pictures of work done well? Growth exposes weak systems. Go back to that episode I did, I believe it was the end of March or first of March, talking about how we react and how we lead makes a difference. The growth that you're a part of, that exposes weak systems. We had a lot of growing pains in 2025, folks. And I said this in an episode a couple ago. Spring doesn't create the problems, it reveals them. Strong systems reduce emotional leadership moments. People know how to handle things. So the reality here is, in an ownership mindset, landscaping is a problem-solving business in many ways. And you're never going to eliminate problems. You can fight and strive for perfection, but you're never going to get there. Your competitive advantage, ladies and gentlemen, is how you respond to them. And I think calm leadership builds client loyalty, crew trust, brand strength. The goal is not fewer fires. The goal is to be better at fire control, to be in the fire prevention department, not the firefighting department. So as I close this out, I want to issue a challenge. Think about the last crisis you had. Did you handle it right or did you mishandle it? There's probably one you can think of that you mishandled. What would you have changed if you paused, took a deep breath, did some of the things we just talked about in the last 15 minutes? What if you acknowledged frustration? What if you asked, what would you like for us to do instead of just getting in an argument? This week, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you install one prevention system, just one? Because at the end of the day, leadership isn't about reacting better. It's about building a business that doesn't need constant reacting. All right? That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, folks. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or leave a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, aside from going on and giving us a great review, take out your phone right now. Maybe you text this episode to your leadership team or another landscape pro you know. That really helps us. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show, and thank you to Bob Yard for their support of this episode. Visit growgroupinc.com for more resources to help your landscaping company succeed. We'll talk to you next week.